Exodus chapter 4 and verse 1, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it." I understand that feeling. Verse 4, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee." Looking again at verse 2, "And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand?" I'm preaching. I want to ask us here today, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? Dear Lord, we thank you for the beautiful moving of your presence and touch in this house. And I believe today that from the very beginning in our time of prayer today, that you have intended to do something great and miraculous and wonderful in this place. We pray right now, God, that your anointing would go forth, that your word would find a place in every one of our hearts, that you would accomplish your will in us, and that, God, we would receive a word of faith in our spirit today, Lord, that we would be challenged to do more for you than ever before, that we would consider the blessings that you've poured out in our life that are to be used for your kingdom. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm preaching today to a group of people who are not unfamiliar with going through trials. Yes, there's quite a few of you today here. You're just a little accustomed to fighting some battles. This is not your first go-around, so to speak. But you've been in spiritual battles before, and you've faced setbacks, and you've come up against a crisis a time or two in your life. And so what I'm about to say today will come at no surprise, but sometimes a little reminder does us all good. When going through a crisis, there are three general choices that a child of God can make, three directions in which we can travel. Three courses of action that are available to us to choose from when going through a crisis. First of all, when going through a crisis, there are many who choose to simply give up. Amen. They become tired, and they're weary of carrying the load and weary of the battle. And so at some point, they make the decision to throw in the towel, to no longer press on, and they make the decision to fight, to give up the fight, and to accept defeat. And yes, many choose this path from time to time. The enemy convinces them that they're unable to make it, and the pressure is just too much to bear, and they've done all they can do, and then at some point the decision is made to just simply give. This is one of the choices that a child of God has before them when going through a crisis. And we've all been there. We've all been there where we simply want to give up. Secondly, today, when going through a crisis, many choose to cast blame upon others. Well, I'd have the victory, but if it just wasn't for so-and-so. Or I'd be able to serve God if this one hadn't hurt me, or I'd be faithful to the Lord if it wasn't for that one's mess ups. And yes, it's easy to put blame upon others. It's easy to find an excuse not to live for God. I submit to each of us in this house today, if we're searching for an excuse to not live for the Lord, we'll likely find one. The enemy has plenty ready-made excuses for us here today, and we can justify anything that we will set our minds to, but if we're looking for an excuse, there will be some hurt, and there will be some bad attitude or some misunderstanding and some legitimate wrongful thing that has happened to us, and many choose to live in that excuse, to become a victim, to cast blame upon others as to the reason why they can't live for God and why they can't carry on. But there's a third group of people. And it's not that these are really any more talented than the rest. And they haven't been born with a silver spoon in their mouth. And they've not had it any easier than all the others. It's not that they haven't had to fight their battles. And or that they've really been treated never unfairly. But there's a difference in their thinking. There's something about their mindset that is completely different. Instead of looking for an excuse to quit, instead of blaming their lack of commitment on someone else or some situation that has happened, instead of all that, they choose to simply trust in God. Amen. When faced with difficult circumstances, they stand upon the word of God and they proclaim victory. When they don't have the answer and they're left with nowhere to turn, they declare that God is going to bring them out. And when their strength is gone, they learn to declare that His strength is perfect. Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you today, it's a different mindset. Instead of transferring blame to someone else, instead of succumbing to the victim mentality of the world and blaming parents or their boss or the preacher or the government, instead of getting caught up in that blame game, they stand firm in their spirit and they trust with everything within them the God in heaven. He's the God of heaven and earth, and He's got this. We all need to look in the mirror today and consider that we've been given a choice. We've been faced with three options before us when we're faced with a crisis. And we can quit, we can throw in the towel, we can give up on what God's promised, or we can blame someone else. I can't come to church because of so-and-so, or I can't do this, and I can't do that. We have that option to blame someone else. But I believe I'm preaching to somebody here today that you'd rather to choose to put your faith in God. You'd rather choose to ignore all the reasons why we can't make it and look at why we can. We're on God's side and He's on our side and He's going to take us through. Hey, we're overlooking all of those that we should blame, and we're staying true to what God's word is in the midst of things that don't make sense to the natural mind. We're setting our sights on things above. We're making the choice to trust in a higher power to bring us through. It's a supernatural strength. It's a divine power. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word. I know it doesn't make sense. I know I'm still struggling. I know I don't have complete victory, but it is so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word. I'm going to keep living by faith. I'm going to keep walking by faith. I'm going to keep trusting by faith. Hey, is there anybody here today that you've got a little crazy faith? You've got a little crazy faith. It's crazy to have faith when there's no reason to have faith. It's crazy to trust in God when everything inside us says give up. It's crazy to declare victory when everything around us is screaming defeat. I don't know about you, but there's a little crazy faith inside of me today that says I'm not giving up on God. He's got this. He's got this. I'm going to proclaim victory before the victory comes. I'm going to proclaim healing before healing comes. I'm going to proclaim faith when there's no reason to have faith, but there is a reason, because God's in control. Come on, somebody here today, you need to take hold of some crazy faith. You need to take hold of some crazy faith. Hey, we're not gonna quit. We're not giving up, but we're trusting in God. Shakarabaha. Come on, somebody here today, you need to stand to your feet because you're going through some stuff and you don't have the answers and you don't know where to turn. But there's a God in heaven that sees your situation, and a little crazy faith needs to hit cold to somebody. Come on, I tell you, somebody needs to get on their feet right now and begin to praise God with a crazy level of faith. Come on, you know who I'm talking to. Right here in front of God and everybody else, you need to start having some crazy faith. Right in the midst of what the devil is doing to your life and family, you need to have a little crazy faith. I don't care what I'm going through. God is still in control. He's still able. There's nothing too hard for the Lord, and I'm trusting God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, you just thought you were coming to church defeated. You just thought you were coming to church on an ordinary day. This is no ordinary day, because there's some crazy faith in this place that's going to trust God. In the name of Jesus. Come on, give somebody a high five and say, I'm crazy faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. In our text today, Moses was considering the impossible situation he was up against. Not only was he about to take on Pharaoh, the king of the leading nation of that time, but he had to go back and face the children of Israel. Yes, they were his people. But he had grown up in the palace of the Egyptians, and when he tried to insert himself back into the lives of the Israelites, it hadn't worked so well. And considering all this, Moses said to the Lord, he said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. In other words, God, I know this is you talking to me. I know that you're here right now. I feel your presence. I hear your voice, but what about these people that I'm about to have to go deal with? Think about it today. Moses didn't have an army to back him up. He didn't have a big following on social media. In fact, he was kind of a loner. He was used to living out in the wilderness and as a shepherd, and here God wants to use him to bring down the greatest dynasty in the world at that time. But the Lord said unto him, he said, what is that in thine hand? You see, today, God wasn't interested in what Moses didn't have. God wasn't concerned about the lack of an army. God wasn't concerned about Moses not having worldly influence. God wasn't worried that Moses was lacking natural resources to get the job done. But God, I tell you, God said, what do you have in your hand? Not what don't you have, but what do you have? And Moses said, this old thing, it's just a rod. It's just a shepherd's staff. It's just a stick that helps me on the mountain trails. And the Lord said, well, that I can use. It was just a stick, not much in the eyes of Moses. But then again, God wasn't worried about what Moses didn't have, just what he did have available. And that simple walking stick, it became a vital tool in God's plan for Israel. Moses threw it down and it became a snake. He picked it up and it became a stick again. All of Pharaoh's magicians did the same thing. They performed illusions and faked it with their sticks. But the rod of Moses swallowed up all of their snakes.
It was the same rod that God told to stretch out over the Red Sea, and the waters parted, and the children of Israel walked across on dry land. It was the same rod in the wilderness when they didn't have any water to drink. And God said, I'm not concerned with what you don't have, but what do you have? And Moses' rod struck a rock, and God created a spring to drink from. It was in Exodus chapter 17 that Israel fought the Amalekites at Rephidim. And in Exodus 17 and 9, we read, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. God wasn't worried about this ragtag army made up of former slaves, but he used what they had, and that was a man who had a relationship with God, and it was an old walking stick. And when Moses was on the top of that hill with the rod of the Lord in his hand, and when he lifted up his hand, there were invisible angels that were fighting with the Israelites to bring them victory. What's in your hand today? What do you have? Not what are you missing? Not what are you lacking? But what is in your hand today? It's just a walking stick. It's just a shepherd's staff. But God is going to use what we do have. Come on, I know we don't have all the financial resources that we need, but what do we have? I know we may not have everything just this that we would all hope for, but what do we have? No, everything's not perfect, but we need to find something that is perfect, something that is great, and give it to God so he can bring victory in our life. First Kings chapter 17. We find the prophet Elijah. Somebody, I'm telling you today, God's speaking to your heart. You've said these very same words, I don't have it. I don't have what it takes. I'm missing the resources. I don't have the talent. I don't have the ability. I don't have the strength. I can't do it. I want to tell you that's the voice of doubt and fear and unbelief, but the voice of faith is saying you need to look again. You need to look again. What do you have in your hand? It may not seem like much, but in the hand of God, it can do great things. Come on, somebody receive that today. What do you have today? What's in your hand? The prophet Elijah, there's famine in the land, and they're going through a dry spell. There's been no rain. There's been no dew, and there's not any crops. It's a famine. It's a dry spell. Has anyone ever been through a dry spell? There's been no victory. There's been no healing. There's been no miracle. Come on, somebody. We go through dry spells at times. Sometimes a church will go through a little dry spell. It's been too long since somebody received the Holy Ghost. It's been too long since somebody was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a little hard to pray. It's a little hard to invite people to church. Come on. It's a dry spell. Elijah was going through a little dry spell, and so God sent the ravens to bring Elijah food to eat by the brook. And guess what? Then the brook dries up. Sometimes we're quick to judge. God, you forgot about me. There was a famine going on, and you were still providing, and you were still making a way, but then the brook dries up, and the ravens stop coming, and the provision ends, and we jump to conclusions. Well, God forgot about me, and he really doesn't care about what I'm going through, and he doesn't know where I am, and if God really loved me, and on and on and on. But maybe God's saying, I let you rest by the brook for long enough. I provided for you, but I've got something greater in this next step. And you've been at the same place for too long. And it's time to move forward. And it's time to go on a little ahead. Because I'm wanting to take you someplace new in the spirit. And I'm wanting to do a fresh work in your life. So God sends Elijah to Zarephath, where a widow woman would sustain him. And as Elijah comes to the gate, the woman's there gathering sticks. He asked her for some water to drink and then for a little something to eat. And we read in 1 Kings 17 and 12 the response of the woman in her natural state of mind. And she said, "As the Lord God giveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it. Sounds like she had given up. She had thrown in the towel. She had done quit. There was no use trying anymore. But Elijah says, "Don't you be afraid. You bake a little cake for me first. And then for you, and then for your son." And in 1 Kings 17 and 14, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And we see a shift in this woman's mindset. Instead of that old quitting spirit, instead of looking for excuses to get out of it, she obeys the word of a man of God, and she prepares a cake for him first, then for her son, and then for her. And in 1 Kings 17, 16, we read, "The barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah." It's easy to focus on all the reasons why we can't. It's easy to come up with a list of excuses, a list of things positively negative. But just as the widow of Zarephath, I believe God's placed within each of us the key to our situation. I believe God's given you a key somehow. He's given you the answer to your need. He's given you the breakthrough somehow. He's placed within our hand something that we can use to be the key to our miracle. We need to stop focusing on what we can't do, but rather what can we do? What is in our hand right now? What resources do we have today? What talent have we already been given? The answer is in our hand. God's not going to do everything for us. We can't just kick back and take it easy and expect God to do all the work and expect revival to break out and the miracles to come. And that's why we have prayer meetings and outreach days. And that's why we have end time ministry. And it may not always seem like much, but it's something that we are able to do. It's why we have the mission in motion. And we look at that big old goal. And Brother Medling, I don't have it, and you don't have it, and all of us really don't have it, but we do have something. And when we give what we do have, God takes it and he multiplies it, and we're going to sow into the kingdom of God. And I want to tell you, God has given us just enough faith to do whatever it takes to bring about the miracle. What's already in our hand today? Matthew chapter 14, Jesus is ministering to a multitude of people. And it was evening time. With meddling, there's something about evening time. About 5 o'clock comes along. I've been working all day. And I don't even have a window in my office, folks, but something, I sense it's evening time. There's a little rumbling that starts happening, Brother Long. Oh. It's about that time. And usually there's a text that comes from Sister McCoy and says, "What time will you be home?" And I text back, "What time will dinner be ready?" Jesus is ministering and the people are hungry, and So Jesus says to the disciples, he says, give them something to eat. Reading in Matthew 14 and 17, and they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, bring them to me. There were no restaurants. We're talking like 20,000 people, folks. All we have is five loaves and 2 fish. We took it off of some little boy that had come prepared. That's all we have. We don't have enough to make a difference. But Jesus said, bring it to me. And when he blessed it, and when he broke it and gave it out, they had enough and more and 12 baskets left over. Come on, what's in your hand right now? What's in your hand that you're discounting as not enough? What is it that you're overlooking that actually could be the answer for your family? It could be the key for your miracle. What is in your hand? What have we overlooked? Because we were too focused on what we didn't have. God may have not given us the complete answer yet today, but what's in our hand right now that could be the key to unlock what we've been praying about? He's given us just enough to exercise our faith and see his power work the rest. Come on, folks, what's in your hand? What do you have? What has God provided? What door has God opened? What's in your hand today? I believe today that God has given us the key to revival in this community and in this whole surrounding area. I don't know exactly what it is. It's a key person or someone who knows that key person. It's a key event. It's an open door somewhere. We need to stop discounting what we don't have and start looking for that open door and start looking for that key person and start praying prayers of faith and standing on the word of God. What do we have today in our hand? I wonder if you'd stand with me all across this house. I believe that God came today to the service to speak a word of faith to somebody that in the middle of your situation, there is hope, there is an answer, there is the seed for a miracle, there is a promise. You just got to start looking what's in my hand. What has God given me? What has God provided? Hallelujah, hallelujah. We might not have this and we might not have that, but what do we have? In looking at our life, some of you are thinking this right now. In looking at my life, there's nothing that God could use. The enemy has stolen our joy. He's attacked our family. Our health might be gone. Our finances in shambles. When I look at my life, some of you are thinking this, there's nothing that God could use. Maybe one day back in ancient history, I had a little something. But I squandered it upon the world. And I made mistakes. And the enemy stole it. And I look at my life today and I want to live for God and I want to be used of God, but there's nothing. There's nothing left, Brother Roger. I want to tell you something that the enemy can't steal from your life. It does not matter the attack. It doesn't matter the level of brokenness. It doesn't matter the history. You hear me today? There's something the enemy can never steal from you. And that is your worship. I may be penniless. I may not have clothes to wear. I may not have a house to live in. I may not have a car to drive. I may not have a job to work. But there's something that comes from within the enemy can never steal. I may not have any pride left, Sister Long. Life may have humbled me and broken me and crushed me to the point of no repair. But there's something that life can't take, and it's my worship. It's my praise. Come on, what's in your hand today? Not what don't you have, not what has been taken from you, not what has been stolen from you, but what do you have? I'm preaching to some people today that you do have some financial resources. You do have some talent. You do have some ability. You do have some things that God has given you. And if you don't have any of all of that, there is something that you do have. And it's a heart of worship. It's a heart of praise. It's what we were created to do in the very beginning. All of nature worships God. Hey, the waves, they clap their hands and sing. The trees lift him up. Why should we not do what we were created for? There's something inside of me. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to get bitter, but I'm going to trust in God, and I'm going to worship when I don't have anything else to give, and I'm going to praise when everything else has been stolen from me, because God is worthy of praise and worship. Come on, there ought to be somebody in this house that you're looking at your life wondering what God can use, and God's saying, if you'll just give me your worship, if you'll just give me what you do have, I'll take it and I'll make something powerful and I'll provide a miracle. Come on, would there be someone that you'd make a step of faith all the way from the back, all the way from the middle, all the way from the front, and you'd come worshiping God, you'd come praising the Lord, because he is able, and he is able to do it, and we're going to trust in him today. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? God just needs something. It may not be much, but you let God figure all that out. What's in your hand today? What's in your heart today? Come on, where's your worship today? He's worthy of my praise. He's worthy of my worship. And I'm not going to let anybody steal that from me. Hallelujah. Come on, all across this house, there's some people that need to be in this altar right now. There's some people you need to respond to faith. You need to respond right now to the word of faith that has gone forth in this house. We may not have anything else, but I'm not going to let the enemy steal my worship. I'm not going to let them defeat me with condemnation and fear and doubt and unbelief, but I'm going to step forward with faith. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, just a moment now. They're going to play something here in just a moment. Hopefully something kind of fast. And we're going to worship the Lord. But right now, I want to pray a prayer. And I want to ask God to speak to every one of us about what we do have. In the Old Testament, they would make a practice of bringing offerings to the Lord. There's all kinds of offerings. Sometimes they would bring what was called a wave offering. There was other offerings called a heave offering, I believe it was. And they would give those things to God. And we're going to do something by faith here today. I believe God's going to speak to every one of us, and he's going to show us something that we do have. And I want you to come to this altar not weeping and worrying and so tearful about how we've been treated, but We're going to begin to worship God. And whatever that is, in your mind, in your spirit, I want you to begin to wave that before the Lord. Lord, it's not much. It's not much, but I'm giving it to you, Lord. I'm giving a heave offering. I'm waving it before you, God, and I pray that you would take it, and I pray that you would use it, and I pray that you would multiply it, and that you would bring about the miracle. And I believe there's a spirit of worship that's going to sweep through this house to where we're not looking at our problems and we're not looking at our needs and we're not looking at our brokenness, but we're looking at Him, and He's perfect and He's able and He's willing to work in us. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I believe this is a word from you. I pray that you would speak to every heart in this house right now, God. And I pray that you would show us what we do have, what is in our hand, what we do have that you can use. And God, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to present it to you in worship. I'm going to present it to you in praise. And I believe you're going to make a way in my life. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us right now. Speak to us right now, God. Show us right now, Lord, something that we do have that we can give to you. In the name of Jesus. 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 In the name of Jesus.